Or look into God's word. Let us turn to him in prayer. Father in heaven, we have gathered ourselves together for the sole purpose to worship thee, our God. And as we open up thy word, read it, meditate upon it, we pray, Father, that you'll use thy servant as a tool in thy hand, and that thy words might go forth, and that thy servant might submit to the leading of the Holy Spirit, that the church might be edified, and that might bring glory, honor, and praise to thy name. And so we commit this time into your care and keeping and faith, believing that you will hear our prayers and provide our spiritual needs. In Jesus' name and for his sake we pray. Amen. With God's help this morning, we'd like to read out of the book of Philippians, chapter 2.
Brati naše, da se čita iz poslanice apostola Pavla Filipljanima iz druge glave. Filipljanima, druga glava.
If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem another better than themselves. And look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of man. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmuring and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, with rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. And holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I may not have run in vain, neither labored in vain. And yea, if I be offered upon the sacrifice of service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. For the same cause also do ye joy and rejoice with me. May God bless the reading of his word. Let us bow before him in prayer.
Almighty and gracious Father in heaven, we bow before thee in thankfulness and praise as we have come before thy word and come together in this assembly to worship and to glorify thy name and to bow before our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who we have read is highly exalted by God and has a name above all other names. And may the gathering of ourselves together and the bringing together of our voices in song, in prayer, and the proclamation of thy word, lift up the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ on high. For he is to be highly exalted, the greatest one that we can ponder upon, and that our hearts and our minds can dwell and rest upon. the greatest one upon whom we can build our life as a foundation for our faith, Jesus Christ, our Savior. And our words fail us, Lord, for we cannot adequately express the worship, the praise, and the glory that is due unto thee for the great and marvelous love that thou hast shown us through Jesus Christ, our Savior, who has not come to condemn the world, but that the world through him and through his shed blood might be saved. Dear Lord, our God, we thank thee for thy mercy and thy compassion that thou hast shown to each and every one by revealing thy word to us and revealing the Savior, Jesus Christ, our Lord. We pray, dear Lord, that each and every one of us in this day, as we gather together, that we would not only come close to one another as we assemble in one place, but that we would come close unto thee, that we would draw near unto thee in prayer and in worship and in listening to thy word, that we might experience and interact with thee, our Lord God in heaven, through Jesus Christ, our Savior, who is our high priest, who prays for us, who intercedes and loves and cares for each and every one of his own. We thank thee, O Lord, for thy loving care, thy tender provision, and the way that thou dost lead and guide us in our lives. Though often we do not understand and we have questions, we know that we can come to thee with all of our burdens and all of our cares, that we can lay them at thy feet, that thy will is best for us, and understanding that thou wilt help us to bear and carry through this life whatever, Lord, thou dost will for us to go through. And so as we come to this place with the burdens that may be upon our heart, those who are grieving, those who are caring for the sick, those who are sick, and many who are upon our thoughts and minds, Lord, the varied needs of the congregation and the spiritual and the physical needs that do exist among us, Lord, we know that thou art able and that thou art willing that to heal, and that all the needs that we may have and that we may bring to thee may be fulfilled in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and that there is nothing that he cannot do. We pray, dear Lord, that we would have that trust and that faith and obedience that though we may not see exactly thy will and thy ways that are hidden to us, that is thy glory. For us, it is a glory to search thee out, to seek for thee, and to believe upon thee, our Lord and God. So we pray that as the word would be expressed to us in this morning, that we would have our hearts be fertile ground, ready soil, soft and willing to hear what thou would teach us, for it is for our good that we would be drawn together in a unity in the body of Jesus Christ to thy honor and to thy glory, and that we would have that single mind of our Lord and Savior and honor and glorify thee, and that we would, with purpose and diligence and with zeal, would work out our salvation, and that thy Spirit would have free course within our lives to bear witness to the truth that we have a Father in heaven, and that we are thy children, and that thou dost rule and reign within us. We pray, dear Lord, that we would be yielded and willing and be as nothing and empty vessels before thee to be used as thou dost see fit and made ready for thy service and made ready for thy kingdom, and to bring honor and glory to thy name, which thou art so worthy of. Give us a mind and a heart that is yearning and desiring to worship thee, and desiring to know that thou art true, and that thou art the rewarder of those who diligently seek after thee. Give us that diligence, give us that willingness to yearn and to strive for thee. For we pray these things through the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
As our brother had prayed this morning, that we would have a mind, a fertile mind, to pay attention, to listen to what God's word says to us, and that we'd be open-minded to hear God's word. And so we see here in Philippians, the Apostle Paul wrote to the church, And he puts it in there in such a way that we should have the same mind, being of one accord and of one mind. Now we wonder sometimes exactly what that really means. What does it mean to be one-minded? Now we realize that we all have our own mind. We all have our thoughts, our concerns, our desires. They're not all the same. And so, does that mean we have a different mind? Does that mean we don't have the mind of Christ? Not at all. You see, we can read in the book of Romans where the Apostle Paul wrote, and here's the key. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So you see, we have to have a renewing of our mind. Now, we did that when we first become converted. We had to have a renewed mind. Because we're so oriented and used to doing the things that we used to do as individuals, and sometimes we have to learn to nullify and mortify the deeds of the flesh, and to mortify our minds, if you will, renew our minds, and have a sound mind. And so here he writes to us in Philippians that we should be of the same mind, of one mind. Now, the Apostle Paul wrote also to the Corinthians, and he said, we have a difference in gifts. He writes in chapter 12 of Corinthians, he says, now that there are diversities of gifts by the same Spirit, and there are differences in administration, but the same Lord. There are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For one is given by the Spirit of the word of wisdom, to another of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, and to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another interpretation of tongues. But all these things worketh that one and the self same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. So you see, there's difference in gifts. Now that doesn't mean that we have a different mind, each one of us, but we do have difference in gifts. But it's for the purpose to edify the church. And some are given this, some are given that, some are given something else. But that doesn't mean we're not of the same mind, just because we got different gifts one of another. We can read in Romans, again, back to 12, where he talks about the different things that we receive by God. God gives us this through the power of the Spirit, having gifts different according to the same that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the portion of faith, of ministry, let us wait on our ministry, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that sheweth mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation, abhor that which is evil, and cleave to that which is good. So you see, again, we are, as it says here, for as we have many members in one body, and all the members have not the same office. But that's not saying that we don't have one mind, the same mind. So then what does exactly mean? Does he mean in Philippians that we should be in one accord, that we should have the same mind, and that we should do his will? So he says, if there's any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels of mercy, if Fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. So you see, he's pointing out here that we need to strive for this unity, that we have this same mind. Even though we differ in gifts, even though we're different in the way we may worship, the way we live our lives, we're not all the same. But we have the same mind as Christ. We're to have the things that the apostles teach us, what God's word teaches us. And that's the many things that come to our mind. Love, fellowship of the Spirit, bowels of mercy, unity, lowliness of mind. All of these things work together to have the same mind. And so if we don't strive in one way or another to serve God with the one mind, we're going to have diversity. We're going to have divisions. We're going to have all kinds of problems because we have not concentrated and made a concentrated effort to work on community, on unity. And it's all because we have not done his will. We have not strived. We have gone on our own way. We have done our own thing. And as a result, it causes disunity. And we need to guard against this. God is not a God of confusion. He's a God of comfort. He's a God of organization. He's a God of doing things that, you know, that we should be all together in heart and in mind and in spirit. That we should serve one another, love one another. And the Bible's full of ways and things that he teaches us how we ought to live our lives so that it brings honor and glory to him, that we can have that same mind. The one mind that he wants us to strive for. He's not happy with divisions. He's not happy with discord, one with another. And how easy that seems allows Satan to get in there and cause these kinds of things when we yield to his temptations. And usually it's because we want to do our thing the way we want to do it. That's what we think is right. So that's what we want to do. Well, it may be right in your eyes. It may be right in my opinion. But does it bring unity to the church? Does it edify the church? Does it give the things that God is pleased and honored with? You see, these are kinds of things that we face in our lives in this day and age. And Satan is right there to bring this confusion, to bring this discord. And you give Satan a foothold, he will get his whole foot in, and not only his foot, he'll be in your life before you know it. If you give him 1 inch, he'll take a mile. That's a known fact. And so, dearly beloved, the Apostle Paul, writing to the Philippians, is encouraging us here, strive for unity. And that means every single one of us, one way or another. Maybe we got different gifts. Maybe we got different ways of edifying the church. However that might be. But we still need to have the same mind, the mind of Christ, the love, the compassion, the pity, the great love that he have for us. This is having the mind of Christ. And when we have that kind of mind, the body will function together. It will edify the body of Christ. It'll bring glory and honor to God. And this is what I believe that the apostle is trying to encourage us here to do. And he said, because fulfill ye my joy that ye may be like-minded. You see, that pleased him. That made him happy when he saw the unity in the church. Because all the things that he preaches, all the things that he taught, all the letters that he wrote, was it all in vain? If we don't follow these ways, if we don't follow his teachings, it's all in vain. And that's what disturbs him. But when we're like this, It brought joy to him. And it's exactly the same way with each and every one of us. When we see the unity that is in our fellowship, within our body, within this body of believers, when we see that, it brings joy to us. It brings joy to the Lord. It brings honor to him. And this is the reason for it. We're all here for one purpose, and that's to glorify God and uplift the name of Jesus Christ. And so that's why he says here, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem another better than themselves. You see, this is part of the same mind. You know, when you think you're a little bit better than someone else, and you think you're living a more righteous life, and you think you're doing everything just right, and your brother and your sisters, they're not doing this and they're not doing that. You know what that's doing? That's elevating yourself. When you start to think that way, you're only elevating yourself. And God does not appreciate our own elevation. You know, we can read in Peter where he talks about to humble yourself. Humble yourself, and the Lord will lift you up in due season. So you see, it takes humility, considering one another. Don't think you're somebody better. Maybe you think you know it all. Maybe you think you know the scriptures well. They're better than somebody else. No. Maybe that's good if you do. But don't look down on someone because they don't. Don't look down on someone and talk about people and criticize. That's why he says here, do all things without murmuring and disputing. That's the opposite of unity. And this is what he's trying to teach. This is what I believe the Lord is trying to draw us together. That we have the same mind, one with another, to serve one another. And to have this same mind. And because he says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So you see why it's necessary for us to have this mind? That we might be like Jesus. He's the one that we're to pattern after. Not one another, but Jesus Christ. And so this is the reason we have to have this same mind. But he says, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. So you see, we need to understand that there's the unity of the three. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. They're all equal as far as the Spirit of God is concerned. But there's still a certain order. God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now the Spirit won't say anything but what the Father tells it. And that's the same way with Jesus Christ. When he taught the Pharisees, he taught the people. Nothing, he says, is from me. What I teach you comes from my Father. So the Heavenly Father taught Christ, and when Christ was gone, it's through the Holy Spirit that guides and teaches us to be of that one mind like Christ. He didn't think of robbery to be equal with God. Not at all. He was part of the Trinity. And he had a responsibility. And he followed the Lord. And he did what the Lord, what God had taught him, wanted him to do. And so that's why he says here. And then it says, but he made himself of no reputation and took on him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of man. Think about that. The Son of God, one who helped form and make this world, who helped and formed make you and I, all things were made for him. He has preeminence. Everything was to him. And yet, he humbled himself and became a servant. The Son of God. He's going to be the King of Kings. He's going to be the Lord of Lords. He's the one we're going to worship. He's the one we're going to live with forever. And all things are going to be put under his feet. But he come as a humble servant. What does that tell you and what does that tell me? humble yourself, that we should be like Christ in humility, humbling ourselves one with another. Not to elevate, not to think that we're esteemed higher than someone else. No. It says, esteem your brother higher than yourself. And so that then puts us in this mindset, if you will, transforming our mind. And so you see, we have to tell ourselves, we have to think about this, we have to pray about this, we have to ask God to lead us through the leading of the Holy Spirit. Give me that humble mind, give me that humility that I need, Lord. Because we all desperately need it because of our own, many times, self-exaltation. And so the apostle was encouraging us here not to be like that, to be like Christ. And being in the form, being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of a cross. This is how far he carried that humility as God's son all the way to death and the death of the cross. Why? Because he loved us, because he loved his Father, because he'd done his Father's will, and because he was obedient even unto death. That tells me and you that we as believers in him must be obedient to his word, must follow his ways, must serve him, serve one another, love him, love one another. All of these things contribute to our unity in our one mind in Jesus Christ. That's the bottom line. And so he goes on to say that at the wherefore God also hath exalted, highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. Now we can read in the book of Acts, the apostles preached and taught, there's no other name given under heaven whereby men may be saved. That's through the name of Jesus Christ. And so he's exalted to that point. That's the only way that you and I will ever see heaven is by humbling ourselves, coming to him in repentance, bowing ourselves to him, giving reverence to him, obeying his word, following his ways. The only way. No other name, no other way. And this is what he's saying here. God exalted him. He will exalt him, as he says here, and give him a name above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth. You see, everything is going to bow to him. He might have been a servant. He might have humbled himself and came to this earth. But believe the word of God, he will be exalted. And every knee, it says, will bow. So my friend outside of Christ, you don't think you need to bow to the Lord now? You don't think you need to give your life to the Lord? Fine. But one of these days, you will bow the knee to Jesus Christ, saved or unsaved. Every one of us exclude no one. Do we realize, can we grasp what the apostle's teaching us here? The preeminence that Christ has, the exalted name that he is, even though he humbled himself, even to the cross, but he's going to be King of Kings. He's going to be ruler. We need to bow and humble ourselves. And so while we have this life and this breath, while we have this opportunity, now is the day of salvation. You see, when we die, there are people who think that it's all over. It is life and breath only. But I got news for you. It's only the beginning. When you and I stop breathing and die, it's only the beginning. Only the beginning of eternity. And the choices that we make, we're going to be judged accordingly. Whether it be good or whether it be bad. Whether we have given our life to the Lord and surrendered and bowed our knee while we had the opportunity or whether we didn't. It's the beginning of eternity. It's either life eternal or death eternal. The choice is yours and the choice is mine. So why not? Why not take the opportunity while we have life and breath to serve him? Don't wait until you become 70, 80 years old like some do. Finally, they saw the light and give their life to the Lord. Barely had time to ever serve him and honor him and glorify him with their life because they didn't last much longer. Why would you wait that long? So you see, dearly beloved, as he points it out here, and it says that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God and the Father. And then he says, wherefore, my beloved, even as always, ye all have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. We can read in Ephesians chapter 2, where it says, we're saved by grace, not by works, lest any man should boast. Now we read this here, work out your soul salvation, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. That sounds like a contradictory, but it's not. Not at all. You see, we have the opportunity to serve the Lord in faith, believing, and trusting in him. We have that opportunity now. And that's what it means then, to work out your soul salvation. Trust, believe, obey, live accordingly. That's what it means, to work out your salvation. And it's all in faith. It's a spiritual salvation that we're for our very souls. And that's why he says, humble yourself so that we don't think we're proud, that we can boast of what good things we have done, that we've done something to earn salvation. That's not what he's saying here. He's not saying we can earn our salvation, but what he's saying that we need to have the faith to believe in God, believe in Jesus Christ, and this is working out our soul salvation. What it means. And obeying the truth, he says here. And so then he goes on to say, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmuring and disputing, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. So he gives us a reason why we should humble ourselves. Give us a reason why we should have the same mind. He gives us a reason why we should live in unity. Because we're living in a perverse generation. And if you don't believe that, listen to the news for 5 minutes. You'll find out. Pick up your newspapers and read from one end to the other. You'll see what kind of a perverse nation we're living in. And you and I are people living here. We're rubbing elbows with these people. We're to be the light of the world. Sometimes we're the only Bible that people read. And so it lays a big responsibility to strive for humility, strive for one another's love and serving one another, and to live in this unity that he's in professing and encouraging us to do. That's why he says, don't do it with murmuring and disputings. It brings discord, disunity. Holding forth the word of life that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. I can relate to that. I can relate to what he's saying here, that sometimes you say the words, sometimes the words is preached, and sometimes it feels almost like it's in vain, because some of the things that we hear, some of the things that's going on in the brotherhood, it saddens our heart. Are we not listening to the word of God? Are we not interested in being obedient to his word? Are the words that come from this pulpit going right over our heads? Maybe we're too sleepy to hear. Maybe we don't want to hear. Maybe it's too convicting to hear. I don't know. But I think we need to examine, dearly beloved. Examine our hearts. Look into God's word. Are we serving Him the way we really ought to? Are we truly His children? Or are we doing things disputing and arguing, causing discord? Dearly beloved, these things are real in life. And if you think for 1 minute it's not happening, you're only fooling yourself. Because you see, Satan is not asleep. The word promises us that he is out there to devour whomever he may, like a roaring lion. And if he can find one loophole in your life or in my life, he's going to work on that as hard as he can so that he can cause discord, he can cause disunity in our hearts and in our minds. And as a result, losing this one mind and one heart and one love for the Lord. Can't let it happen. We've got to guard against it. We've got to strive, humble ourselves, strive for this unity that is so desperately needed in this day and age. Not only here, you'll find it in the workplace, you'll find it in the schools. It doesn't matter. It's all over. Satan is seeing to that. And we're in this perverse nation, and we're to be lights shining as such. And so he goes on to say, yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. For the same cause also do ye joy and rejoice with me. So you see, the Apostle Paul, when he recognized their unity, when he recognized their one mind and their serving the Lord, it brought joy to his heart. And he felt like he wasn't just saying a lot of words that to no avail. Because he could see the results. This is the thing that needs to be evident in our lives. The results of this unity, one with another. Love, respecting, submitting, the whole gamut of things that we must do to bring unity amongst the brotherhood. Not to allow discord to come in between us and destroy us. Because rest assured, it will if we allow it. So you see, it's up to the individuals. It's up to you and I. How do we see the word? How do we hear the word? Are we applying it to our lives? James writes, don't be just hearers of the word, but doers of the word. Makes a difference. Makes a big difference. But when we only hear it, we don't apply it to our lives, there'll never be unity. Never. It's up to you, it's up to me to make it happen.
The scripture that we've read this morning portrays Jesus Christ as one who is highly exalted and whose name is higher than any other name, for his humility and for his service and his obedience. He is glorified and honored by God the Father and should be glorified and honored within our hearts and valued and seen as the one to whom we want to pursue after and follow. And it is him who gives light and really brightens this chapter, because the world is described here as a dark and a perverse place. And the world has provided nothing to unify mankind and the cultures and differences in languages and occupations and personalities that appear in the world. But we're pointed to Jesus Christ. We're called and lovingly invited and reminded that even mankind and each and every man, they have this within their flesh to strive, to seek after vainglory, pride, and looking for themselves. And so we're directed by the scripture to seek after God, to ask him for help. It says in verse 13, "For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure." Ask the Lord for his Spirit's guidance to give us a will to do his good pleasure, and the strength and the wisdom to seek after Christ, the Lord, whose mind we are to have. In doing that, in seeking after the Lord, and truly the thought that came to my mind as the brother was sharing was to peel away all of the insulating barriers, all the people that are around me. We see that we can't look to one another for an example that we can follow. We look to Christ. We see that we can't look to the world for something to compare ourselves. In the end, it will be me, and it will be God. He's calling me, even this morning, and each of us, to draw near to him, to ask him, "Lord, wilt thou work in me to will and to do of thy good pleasure?" That's a prayer that he will not despise, and he will not turn away. And when one and all come with a heart of desire and love and are persuaded by the word that's before us that this is what we need to do, then the church becomes a place where there is consolation in Christ. The church is described here as one group of people that there are many needs that need to be filled. There are many tasks that need to be done. And yet, when the body is depending upon its source of life, so depending on the vine, Jesus Christ our Savior, then it is not just a place of needs without any recourse for help, but it is a body that serves itself, serves one another and finds consolation in Christ, finds that encouraging word, finds the brothers and sisters that are praying for each other, and that comfort of love, that love that is expressed in simply forgetting ourselves and thinking of others. That fellowship of the Spirit that is an evidence of God's ownership of us. And bowels and mercies, a yearning from within that is given as a blessing from God to care and to help bear one another's burdens. And Jesus gives us the perfect example of that. He says to take up his yoke upon us and learn of him, for he is meek and lowly of heart. May to his name be all the thanks and praise, now and forevermore. Amen.